offered to a king. What weight or worth could be held within my offering? When he alone is worthy, a glory song is inscribed upon my heart. This treasure held in an alabaster jar, I break to bring him all the glory. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. What sacrifice could be equal to his own? The cross of Christ has declared that there is naught I owe. Yet I know
Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody that's here this morning. Glad to have those of you on our social media platforms, on Facebook, on YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share there, subscribe, follow us. Do all those things. Comment there, too. It just helps to get the word out to all of your friends also. And then don't forget, thank you so much for those who are joining with us on our phone live streaming. If you need that number, see me after the church service. I'll be glad to give that to you, or call the church office during the week, and we'll be glad to give that to you. You just call into that number the one time. And then you tell it that you want it to call you each time, and it'll call you every time that our services go live. And then also, if you're at home and you have access to our church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download this week's worship bulletin. Those are at the doors, some in the windowsills as you came in. Be sure to grab one of those this morning if you're here in person, but you can download it there also from the church website. We also have children's worship bulletins, one for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. They go along with the message each Sunday morning. They're in the windowsill to my right over here, and you can download those also under that info tab. And then also don't forget the prayer list. Download that also there. You can find those paper copies out here on the table outside the offices. So be sure to grab one of those and be praying through that list. You'll hear some more prayer requests at the very end. We do want to welcome those who are guests here, especially if you're a guest for the first time. We want to encourage you to pick up one of the gift bags on the sides of the stage. There are some at the doors as you leave this morning. It's got some things in it that we just want to give to you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. But it's also got some information about our church. And so I want to encourage you to pick one of those up and peruse through that, and just want to say welcome to you this morning for being here with you. If you brought a guest, make sure that they get one of those this morning. So, Brother Mike.
Good morning, all. You know, God loved us so much, He made a way through His Son for us to be part of His family. Let's praise Him this morning by standing and joining the choir, and let's sing through a couple of times the song 386, The Family of God.
Well, you noticed in your bulletin we're at our missionary of the moment time of our Sunday service, and you'll notice here that we have David and Zoe Kim, who are missionaries for the Southern Baptist Convention to sub-Saharan African peoples. They are living outside the capital of Antananarivo, which I assume I said that right. Can be challenging, travel can be difficult between villages, education levels are low, 75% of the population lives in poverty, but despite all those challenges, people are willing to hear the gospel, and so they are serving there to sub-Saharan African people. So pray for additional workers to be able to come and lead and disciple new believers in that region where David and Zoe are serving, and pray for God's protection over their family. You'll notice also the prayer request below that for our missionaries in Moldova, so keep them in your prayers also. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for all of our missionaries. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for all that you are doing in and through our church. We thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have to be a witness here in our own community. But Lord, through our missionaries around this nation, across this continent, and around the world. Father, we thank you for those who have accepted the call to go into full-time missionary service. And we just pray, God, that you would impress upon our hearts to continue to support them with our prayers, to support them in going and working alongside of them, and also to support them in our giving. So thank you each and every Sunday, Lord, that in our tithes and offerings, a portion of our offerings goes to support those missionaries all across the world and around our nation to keep them on the field. But Lord, there are those special offerings that we continue to take, and we just pray, God, that you will continue to impress upon our hearts to give towards that, to help us to reach that goal as it goes 100% to the mission field in those special offerings. So Father, we just pray for your blessings upon us this morning as we come to worship worship you. We want to give our hearts and our lives and ourselves to you. Lord, some of us may have come with a lot of heavy burdens, and so we just come to you this morning, and we ask you to take those burdens off of us as we lay them at the foot of the cross. And Father, we pray that you would help us to take your yoke upon us, for your yoke is easy and your burdens are light. So Father, I pray that you would just walk with us, strengthen us each day, bless us in this service this morning. May we leave refreshed, may we leave revived, may those who are lost become saved, and those who are saved be faithful to do what you're calling them to do in their hearts and their lives. So bless this service this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. So just want to remind you at home, especially, you can do your offerings there online at the church website, hallowedbaptistchurch.com. Go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab there. You can do that. You can do that from here in person, too, on your phones. But you could also do that with the offering envelopes that are in the pews in front of you. So I want to encourage you to take the time to do that. There's offering plates down here. You can put them in, offering plates at the doors as you leave this morning. I want to remind you also of our YouVersion Bible app that we have out. We have our new Bible reading plan that began this month on reading the Bible all the way through this year, the chronological Bible, reading it chronologically through. And so we are in the book of Job right now. And so I want to encourage you to just join in with us where we are. Go on and on your app store, find that, download it, discover your church on the app there. When you do, you'll find our church and just set that as your church. It'll show you automatically there the Bible reading plan on our homepage there, and you can click to join that Bible reading plan. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. Also, just want to mention one other thing, that we do need volunteers. There's all kinds of ways that you can serve in our church, but we need some volunteers. We need you to help us at the Ministry Center on Fridays for the Food Share Program. We do have a sign-up sheet that's on the board out here, so if you're interested, I know we had some who stopped by this past Friday to kind of get a feel of what's going on there to see if they want to join that ministry. If you want to do that, we'd encourage you to still sign up on the sheet out here so we'd know that you're coming. But you could come on Fridays anytime between 9:30 and 11:30 to just check it out, see what the ministry is all about, and if that's something you might be interested in being involved in and volunteering in, then you could sign up on the list to serve a certain day, a certain time there. But it goes from 9:30 to 11:30, so I encourage you to take the time to do that. We also need some volunteers to help with the sound and video, so if you can help us with that, you're interested in that, please see myself, see Brother Ben Murray, and we can get you plugged in with that and get you some training. We won't just throw you to the wolves to start with. We'll do a lot of training with you to help you. It's not a lot to have to do. A lot of it's just pushing a button, and that's all you're doing. The sound is pretty much set. You just push a mute button, push a plug, and get you trained. Yeah, it is. All right. So, but glad to have you here with us this morning. And Brother Mike, if you'll come and join.
I can push buttons pretty well, usually the wrong ones. Take your hymnals now, or sing from the screen. Trust and obey. All four verses of 447. When we walk with the
Our choir is going to sing a special this morning called Great Things. The words will be on the screen, so we encourage you, please join us if you feel led to so do.
if you would, turn with us with the hymnals to 122, or sing from the screen, and stand with us as we sing, Tell Me the Story of Jesus.
Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to, again, the book of Ephesians. As we continue our walk through Ephesians, Paul has been telling us a lot about the family. He's told us about the relationship between husbands and wives back in chapter 5. He's told us, as we began last week, the relationship of children to their parents. And I want to focus this week on part 2. I realized I wasn't going to be able to get through my entire passage last week, so we broke it into two parts. Last week was directed towards the children, mostly, some there to the parents. Today is going to be directed mostly to the parents, to the grandparents, to the aunts and uncles, to us as a church in ministering to the children of our church and the children of this world. So we're going to begin by reading chapter 6 in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 1, down through verse 4. So let's stand as we read God's word in honor of His word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer this morning, Father, we do realize, as we saw even last week and have seen many times throughout our lives, that the family unit is an important part of what you have instituted in this world. Father, so goes the family, so goes a nation. And so, Father, I pray that we will return as families to being godly families, good families, Lord, seeking to raise our children in a godly manner. Father, doing everything we can to give them the most opportunity to come to faith in Christ, but then also realizing and knowing, God, that eventually their decisions are theirs and their consequences are theirs. And so, Father, I pray that we would continue, even into adulthood, continue praying for our children. And so, Father, I pray this morning that this message will speak to our parents, especially to grandparents, some who take care of their grandkids, others, Lord, who are uncles and aunts, others who are just members of our church, Lord, some who've never had children. But yet you've entrusted us as a church to raise up and to nurture the next generation in the admonition and the instruction of the Lord. So, Father, I pray this morning that you will speak to every one of us, and especially to those who may not know Christ as their Lord and their Savior, because that's where all of this starts. And I just pray, God, that you will have your way and your will in our hearts and our lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You know, as I said last week, one of the biggest problems in the foundations of the families across our nation and that faces every generation is found in that one word, parents. And we talked about how that word in the Hebrew for parent, which is horim, only exists in the plural, that it takes two to be parents there. And so there's not a greater need for any child in this world than the need for godly Christian parents. Every child ought to be reared in a good Christian home by parents who love the Lord, who read the Bible, who pray with their children, who model that kind of life before them, the life of Christ before them. You know, and there are those who have never had children. I want to let you know there are opportunities through our Tennessee Baptist Children's Home to do foster care, to do adoption possibly. And so there are many ways, and some of you have experienced that even in your own families. There's a great blessing in raising children. You know, sometimes it may seem like raising our children is just too difficult, but our children can be such a blessing to us. So last week, as I said before, it was directed mostly towards the children. But in today's message, I want to talk mostly, as I said, to the parents, to the grandparents, to the aunts and uncles, and to the church in general about raising children. So I want to share with you today from a biblical perspective how you as parents and others can have a profound influence and impact on framing the values of your children. Now, last week to the children, I shared that you ought to be right by obeying your parents. You ought to be respectful in honoring your parents. You ought to be reverent in loving your parents. He said in verse 1, "Their children, obey your parents in the Lord." And then I said a few things to the parents that I thought hopefully encouraging words to you as parents, that we know it's tough being a parent. I truly believe that it's more difficult being a parent today than it's ever been before. I also told you last week that even the most godly, the best of parents sometimes have children that don't turn out good and godly. Sometimes parents that aren't godly and aren't good wind up having children that are good and godly. Also, parents, I told you not to feel like a failure or not to feel guilty. If you can honestly look in the mirror and say that you did your best to be a good, godly parent, if your children don't turn out that way, don't think that you have to be some super parent. No parents. You cannot push some little button and guarantee that your children will be the kind of children that are spoken of in this passage. But parents, it is your job to do the very best that you can. Grandparents, it is your job to do the very best you can. Aunts and uncles in church, it is your job to do the very best that you can. So what do we need to do the very best that we can to the parents? Three things I want to share with you today. One is, what do you teach your children? What is it that you're to teach your children? Look back at verse 4, if you will. He said, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But he says, here's what you ought to do. You ought to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. That simply means that you're to be teaching your children God's truths. Now, you can't teach something that you don't have yourself and that you don't know yourself. You can teach about God, but you can't teach from the perspective of having that relationship with God. So that's the very first thing that you need to make sure as a parent, as a grandparent, as an aunt, as an uncle, as people who are here this morning, even watching online, that you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior so that you can seek to raise your children in the godly admonition and nurture of the Lord. So what to teach your children? Well, there's four qualities that ought to be seen in the children's lives, in your children's lives, that have to come from you as parents. Here's one of those: conviction. Now, I encourage you to take time and go back and read the story of Daniel. Daniel was a young man who his parents poured into him the truth of God's word. And some of this comes from the experience of Daniel to share with you this morning. But the first thing you ought to teach your children is conviction. When I do premarital counseling, I always begin with having the couple to share with me about their parents and about their relationship together, because we are a product of our parents, whether that's for good or for bad, and we tend to bring all of that baggage with us into the marriage relationship together. You have no choice, Mom and Dad. Your child is basically going to adopt, for the most part, the values that you give to them, the values that they see lived out in you. Sometimes people would ask in days past, they probably still do today, where did you learn that word from? You hear them say a bad word, a curse word. Well, Mom, I heard you say it, or Dad, I heard you say it. They learn from us. And we live in a land today that increasingly more and more has no room for God, no time for God. I want to say first that there are some good, godly teachers and administrators in our public school systems. Some of those are here even this morning, especially in our elementary and middle schools, and seems to be less and less in our high schools. So pray especially for those high school administrators that are Christians, and pray for our students in the high school. There are some schools, though, that are the exception, but many of our children go to schools that don't begin, and even colleges, that don't begin their day with prayer. No longer are the Ten Commandments something that's instilled in children's lives or posted even in the classroom. The very idea of God Himself is itself totally rejected. Every effort is being made many times to indoctrinate our children and their friends and into a pagan way of thinking and a pagan way of living. And we ought to do everything we can as parents to help our children know who they are in the Lord and to know what we believe and what they ought to believe. Every day our children are going to be hit with the hammer of compromise and temptation. The only thing that's going to stand against that hammer of compromise is the wall of conviction that you placed in their hearts. And that starts way back even before they're ever born, that you ought to be praying for them. But then once they're born, you ought to be taking every opportunity you can to instill the truths of God in their hearts and lives, to build that wall of conviction up in their lives. One of the decisions you have to make is this: what convictions are you going to pass down to your children? How are you going to guide them in making decisions when they're placed in tempting situations? You know, so often when children are faced with choosing between what is right and what is wrong, the thing that's most important to them in deciding what they should do is doing what would be best for everyone involved. In other words, they don't give any credence to what does God say? What would God want them to do? You have to begin early in teaching your kids to have proper convictions. And those convictions ought to be based not on what feels right, because understand, our feelings are up and down all the time. Feelings change. But the convictions of the Word of God never change. And so your convictions and your children's convictions ought to be based on the Word of God. So that's the first thing you ought to be teaching your children, is those biblical convictions. Secondly, you ought to be teaching them character, biblical character. So I want you to see that, each of these characteristics that we're talking about here flows from the other one. Once your child decides what convictions they believe, that'll determine how they behave. So understand that convictions determine behavior. Convictions determine character. There's a phrase that I love in the book of Daniel. That's why I recommend you to read the story of Daniel there again. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, here's what it said about Daniel. But Daniel resolved, or Daniel determined, or Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel was a young man who had convictions and character. Understand this, character is all about the heart. The heart of your character is the character of your heart. You're the person you are today because of the character you became yesterday. The person that you will be tomorrow is determined by the character that you have today. So understand that's true about your children. Your children will have choices, and those choices will reveal their character. Because choices don't make character, choices reveal character. Somebody once said this, there's a choice you have to make in everything you do, and you must always keep in mind the choice you make makes you. Character in the biblical perspective is the will to do what's right as God defines what's right. Not as what we think is right, not as what we feel is right, but what does God's word say is right. So regardless of the consequences and regardless of the cost, listen to that definition and see two things in it. First, character demands a commitment to do what's right, no matter what that might cost you, no matter what the consequences might be. One of the greatest lessons you can teach your kids is this. The best way to handle temptation isn't to make a decision when you're tempted, but to make a decision of what you'll do before you ever face that temptation. When you get in a situation, maybe you're with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you don't wait until you're both in the car and you've been holding hands and you've been kissing a little bit to then decide, I'm not going to let it go any further. You need to have decided that before you ever got in the car with that guy or you got in the car with that girl. You need to have those convictions and make those decisions before you ever face the temptation. Character is simply doing what's right because it's the right thing to do according to God's word. Secondly, character depends upon believing in an absolute standard of right and wrong. Now, I know that's against our culture and against what's taught today, that standards change and there is no absolutes of right and wrong. You see it in our school systems. We see it everywhere we go, that people don't believe in an absolute standard of right and wrong. That's why we, as parents, as Christian parents, need to make sure we're teaching our kids the absolute truths of God's word. It's a matter of believing that certain things are right, regardless of how they may feel or what we may think or what we may want, and that certain things are wrong, regardless, and those things can only be defined by God Himself. So the third thing you need to teach your children is this, courage. Courage. So conviction, character, and courage. One of the greatest words you can ever teach your kids is this, no. Kids don't like it. We didn't like it when our parents told us no. You wanted something at the store and they said no. Or you wanted to go somewhere. You wanted to go out with your friends and stay out late one night. No. No is one of the greatest words you can ever teach your kids. The only way your children can say no to the world is if first they have said yes to God. If they have not said yes to God, they're going to say no to the world more times than they're going to say yes to the world more times than no. Even though they may make a good decision, a right decision, even the best decision, it's not always going to be the easiest decision. So that's why they need to have that conviction that they've said yes to God so they can say no to the world. It takes courage. It takes tremendous courage to say no. As I mentioned before, you read the story of Daniel and how he said no. And he was asked to bow down before the images there, and he said, no, I'm not going to do it. Even if that meant they would kill him, he was willing to say no. Where do you think that character and that conviction and that courage to say no came from? It likely came from his parents and from others pouring God's truths into his heart and into his life. In other words, when Daniel said no and refused to eat at the king's table, it would have been an insult to the king and would have been putting his life on the line. But there was even a greater pressure that Daniel faced. It's the greatest pressure any teenager faces, and that was peer pressure. Well, everybody's doing it. His friends were doing it. Others were doing it. Hundreds of Jewish teenagers were there at that time. And Daniel was the first, and at that point, the only one we know of to say no, even when everybody else was doing it. Could you just imagine the conversation that went on? His friends were saying, come on, Daniel, everybody's doing it. And Daniel would say, no, everybody's not doing it because I'm not doing it. Somebody else may have said to him, Daniel, nobody will know. Daniel would have said, well, God knows. Somebody else would have said, Daniel, you've got to obey the king. He's the king. And yet Daniel would have said, no, I've got to obey God, the God that my parents taught me to love with all of my heart, soul, strength, and mind. It takes conviction and character to say yes to God, and it takes an unbelievable courage to say no to this world. Parents, you have to teach your children to say no, but they have to learn to say no. You can't make them say no. I don't want you to sit there and feel guilty if you've got teenagers or even adult children who didn't have the courage at the right time to say no. You just make sure that you model, not only in your words, but also in your lifestyle, that you have, as a parent, the courage to say no. Not only do you need to teach them biblical conviction and biblical character and biblical courage, you also need to teach them courtesy. That's a word that is foreign to our culture today. You need to teach your children that even when they stand their ground, they're not to do it arrogantly, they're not to do it rudely, they're to do it courteously. When you look at Daniel's story and you read Daniel's story, do you notice some things about what Daniel did and what mainly he didn't do? When they were told that you have to eat the king's food, Daniel didn't stage some protest. He didn't firebomb the banquet hall. He didn't threaten the king or the eunuch. He just very quietly and graciously proposed an alternative. Daniel had been taught to be respectful to authority, and that may be one of the most glaring weaknesses of children today, the lack of proper respect for those in authority. Listen to these words. Our youth love luxury. They have bad manners. They have contempt for authority. They show disrespect for their elders. Youth are now tyrants, not the servants of their households. They no longer rise when their elders enter the room. They contradict their parents. They gobble up their food and tyrannize their teachers. Do you know who wrote that? Some attribute it to Socrates. Others attribute it to Aristophanes. But in either case, it was written around 300 to 400 BC. Wow, things haven't changed much, have they? Some things never change. I want to encourage you as parents to teach your children good manners. It may be old-fashioned, but there is simply nothing wrong with saying yes, sir, and no, sir. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. There's nothing wrong with opening the door for a lady, letting ladies enter into the room first, letting those who are older than you enter the room first. There's nothing wrong with teaching teenagers to say please and thank you. And the way you do that is by you doing that. It's one thing to tell them, no, you need to say yes, ma'am. You need to say yes, sir. Do they see you doing that to those who are your elders, those who you need to be showing respect to and authority? Do they see you saying please? Do they hear you saying thank you? They need to see that demonstrated in your life, not just you telling them what to do. So those are four things you ought to be teaching your children. But how do you reach your children? Go back to verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." You can't teach who you can't reach. And you can't reach unless you teach. So I want to give you three words to remember that I believe will help you to reach your children. Here's one of the things: love them. Love them. That's one of the things kids need more than anything else today, is for somebody to love them. Not in an ungodly way, to love them in a godly way. Above all things, your children have to know that your love for them is unconditional. They have to know that your love and your acceptance of them is not based on whether they made good grades or some athletic achievement that they made or their personal popularity or they were perfect in their conduct. Let me let you in on a little secret. Many of you in this room will be given an opportunity one day to prove to your children that you love them unconditionally. If that daughter comes in and says, "Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant," your love is on the line. When you get that call in the middle of the night, the police call and tell you that they have your son in jail for driving under the influence, your love is on the line. When your children make bad choices, make poor decisions, make wrong moves, your love is on the line. And that's not just true for parents, that's true for grandparents, aunts and uncles, that's true for us as the church. Long after, understand this, long after their bad choices, long after their poor decisions, long after their wrong moves are in the past, that teenager, that child is going to remember one thing. When I needed my mom and dad the most, when I needed my grandpa and my grandma the most, when I needed my aunt and uncle, when I needed the church the most, did they stand by me and show me that they loved me? Now, I'm not talking about condoning mistakes, sins even that your kids make. I'm not talking about sweeping them under the rug. But at the same time that we condemn what a teenager does, you've got to affirm to them that you love them. And you've got to confirm to them your loyalty to them is unconditional and that you're the first one that's willing to forgive them when they ask. So the first thing that will help you to reach your children is to love them. The second is this: listen to them. You know, all too often, and I made this mistake many times, but then I learned and then our kids hated me talking to them. Because I talked and talked and talked and talked. "Just give me the paddle, Dad. Just give me the paddle. Put me in timeout. Take away the privilege. Don't talk to me." We need to listen. We need to listen to our kids. The reason most kids don't talk to their parents is because their parents won't listen. The average parent is outstanding at lecturing, but very poor at listening. If you'll give your kids an ear, they will give you their heart. And you need to be creating that kind of culture in your children's lives, because one day they're going to grow up and be adult children. And when they face difficult situations and circumstances, you want them to feel like, "I need to go to Mom, or I need to go to Dad and talk to them. They'll understand. They'll be able to help me." You don't want to build such walls that you've torn and burned bridges that you're the last person they want to come to talk to. If you give your kids an ear, they'll give you their heart. Learn to listen. Learn not to interrupt. Learn not to jump to conclusions. Learn to give them space and what they want to say and what they need to say. When you learn to do that, you'll be teaching your children that when they need to talk to someone, they really can talk to you. Now, I'm not talking about you being their best friend either. I'm talking about you being a loving parent. Because this third thing is this: you need to lead them. If you want to reach your children, you need to lead them. Not just love them, not just listen to them, but lead them. Your primary calling to your children is not to be their buddy. is still to be their parent. There's a lot of parents who are afraid to set standards, to set boundaries, because they're afraid I'll offend my children and that'll build up walls with my children. You see, the two most influential factors that affect the decision-making of children are this: the child's value system, in other words, their sense of right and wrong, and their social system, in other words, the influence of family. So when you talk to your children about any issue, there are some easy guidelines to follow. Be honest. Be open. Be transparent. Answer every question honestly and forthrightly. And above all, give a positive biblical perspective on the issue when you can. Let me close with this whole matter of boundaries and taking the role in leading in the lives of your children. Psychologists working with young people discovered an interesting truth quite a few years ago. Contemporary thought assumed that fences on playgrounds made the children feel restricted in their recreation. And so a consensus was then reached: let's remove the fences so the children won't feel confined, kind of like they're in a prison of sorts, if you will. Well, guess what? The opposite effect occurred. Researchers found that children became more inhibited with their activities. They tended to huddle towards the middle of the playground and exhibited signs of insecurity. When the fences were replaced, the children played with greater enthusiasm and freedom. Here's the truth. Every single one of us who are here this morning need boundaries. We all need boundaries. We all need something that defines the limits of safety and security. Boundaries that don't limit freedom, boundaries give freedom. In the Old Testament, the people were warned not to move the boundary markers that they had set up, that past generations had set up, to determine the boundaries. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 14 says, "You shall not move your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set in an inheritance that you will hold in the land that your Lord, the Lord your God, is giving you to possess." We need to set up boundaries for our children so they know where not to go, what not to do. When the Israelites, remember, they were being taken off into captivity, they were told as they were going down the roads, the Word of God said for them to set up road markers along the way to follow when they came back, because God was promising, "You're coming back. I want you to set up these road markers so you'll know the way back." Jeremiah 31:21 says this: "Set up road markers for yourself. Make yourself guideposts. Consider well the highway, the road by which you went. Return, O virgin Israel, return to these your cities." And so as the Jews started out for Babylon, God told them to remember the roads, remember to set up markers along the way, because one day those people were going to come back those same roads when they return to their land. The same is true for us in the family. We need to be setting up road markers throughout the lives of our children, all the way throughout our children's lives, so that when they stray off the path, or whenever they've been away from the Lord for a while, that when they see those road markers, they'll know the way back home. As long as your child is in your home, they're under your authority. But you not only have the right, you have the responsibility to lead that child and to make certain that they lack the opportunity, much less the encouragement, to engage in any type of behavior that would be wrong and out of bounds. You need to set boundaries in the life of your children. You need to have boundaries. And then thirdly, in closing here, here's what other word I want to say to you as parents. Remember this: God is always at work. God is always at work. That passage says, "From God, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." We need to teach our children not to cross the line and to obey God's will, but we need to also instill within our children a reliance upon God and to trust that God is at work. Your children need to know that God is always working. When your children are determined to follow God's path for their life, God will direct them to the right path. In fact, the Bible promises that in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 5 and verse 6, that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. So when your children trust in the Lord with all their heart, and they don't depend on their own understanding, when they seek God's will in all that they do, then He will show them the path to take. You want to teach your children to remember that God is always working, so that when they come to places in life where they think they're out of options with God, they'll know that there's always an option. When they think that they're at a dead end in their life, when they think that there's no other way but the world's way, and there's no other way but the wrong way, then if they'll rely at that moment on God to guide them, God will make the right way for them. He'll open the right way. He'll show them the right way. But if you've not laid that foundation, there's nothing there for God to work with. They ought to think that all that matters is how they look in the eyes of God. For them to learn that God is always working, they need to see that in your life. This is your children and your parents and for everyone else here, what I want to say in closing. I don't know where you are in your life right now, but some of you may be absolutely convinced that you're in a room in your life that has no windows and no doors. You're convinced I'm out of options. You're absolutely convinced there's no way out of your dilemma except doing what everybody else would do, taking the path everyone else would take, making the decision everybody else would make, fighting your battles all by yourself, and you've got to look out for you. Let me give you some good news. God is always working, even when the worst things happen and life seems like it's falling apart. God is still working. You know, we none have any idea everything that God's plan involves. But what we do know is that God has a plan that's greater than us and greater than any plan you may have for yourself or for your children. I want to say to all of you who are parents here today, I think we would all agree, we need all the help we can get. That's why you need the church. That's why you need to be in church. You need to be in a Sunday school class, because you need all the help you can get. No one can help you in this matter of raising your children more than God can. And nothing you can ever do for your children will ever be any greater than both by your life and by your own teaching that you were to help your children to come to the place to have a relationship with God. Teach your children the right message in the right manner. That's what verse 4 is talking about. Do it in the right way. You can either beat your kids down by staying on their case 24 hours a day, or you can build your kids up. You can either discourage them or you can encourage them. And if we're not careful, we can aggravate, we can frustrate, and we can provoke our children. All too often, we fail to be a consistent model to our children. We say, do as I say, not as I do. Or we fail to admit when we're wrong. We say, I'm the adult, I'm right. Or we fail to give honest answers to honest questions when we say, because I said so, that's why. Or we fail to major on the majors and minor on the minors. Or we fail to communicate our approval and our acceptance when we say things like, you can't do anything right, can you? Or so many other things. Parents, understand that the way you teach is just as important as what you teach. And if you want to be a successful teacher to your children, model what you teach and teach it in a positive passion. Proverbs 16:21 says in the New Living Translation, the wise are known for their understanding and pleasant words are persuasive. I want to close with something I read. It's a parent's prayer. I can't think of a better way that we can pray for ourselves and for each other. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Thank you for this passage this morning. Lord, make us a better parent. Lord, teach us to understand our children, to listen patiently to what they have to say, and to answer all their questions kindly. Lord, keep us from interrupting them or criticizing them. Lord, make us as courteous to them as we would have them to be to us. Forbid, Lord, that we should ever laugh at their mistakes or resort to shame or ridicule when they displease us. Lord, may we never punish them for our own selfish satisfaction or to show our power. Lord, let us not tempt our children to lie or steal, but guide us, Lord, hour by hour, that we might demonstrate in everything we say and in everything we do that honesty produces happiness. Lord, may we ever be mindful that our children are children and that we would not expect of them the judgment of adults. Let us, Lord, not rob them of the opportunity to wait on themselves and to make decisions. Lord, bless us with the bigness to grant them their reasonable requests and the courage to deny them the privileges that we know could do them harm. Lord, make us fair. Make us just. Make us kind. Fit us, O Lord, to be loved and respected and imitated by our children. And help us always, Lord, to remember that better parents raise better children. We pray that our children will be reliable. They'll be dependable. They'll be responsible and compassionate. That our children will be sensitive and loving and giving to others. Deliver them, Lord, from any pride, from any laziness, from any slothfulness, any selfishness, or any lust of the flesh. Lord, we pray that they will have a teachable and submissive spirit that says yes to the things of God and no to the things of the flesh and the world. Strengthen them to stand strong in their convictions. We ask, Lord, for your blessings on our families this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe you need to come this morning, maybe to join this fellowship, maybe simply to come and pray for your family, maybe to come and come to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. We want to invite you to do that as we sing I Surrender All, number 275. Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation? Would you come? you can be seated for just a moment. This is Dale and Kelly Yost. They are both coming this morning desiring membership in our church by their statement of their faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They've all already been baptized before, and so we want to encourage them this morning, as well as Miss Kathy Brock, who is coming to join our church also from one of our sister churches in the association. What's your pleasure in receiving them into the membership of our church this morning? If you're excited for their decision, would you say amen?
Amen.
We're so excited for them. Also, they've been, both of these have been coming for some time, and God's been working in their hearts to bring them here. There's some others that I know God is working in their hearts too for some decisions too. So hope this encourages you to do that. We're going to ask you to be seated back at the front pew here. And after we have our announcements, Brother Tommy's going to share those things with us. Then we're going to have you come back up, and you come by and give them the right hand of fellowship and encourage them in their decisions this morning. So, Brother Tommy.
Good morning. I know it's only the end of January, but we will begin working on VBS for this year. Our first meeting will be February 9th at 2:30, so that there's enough time for the ladies to get over to the ministry house with Miss Rima. If you do not want to spend the week with a bunch of children, that is fine. There are several other opportunities available for you to work with us and be a blessing. For yourself, honestly, but also to the church and to the children of the church. So February 9th at 2:30, if you would like to help volunteer or just see what it's about, we'd love to have you there. Thank you.
Need to remember Roger and Kay Williams with after her fall. They are still in Murfreesboro, is my understanding, and awaiting word on where they're going to be going from there. Just be in prayer for those two. Little Sophia, we've been praying for. She is in a medically induced coma, heard this morning that back before Thanksgiving that Ralph Kimberlin, a former member of this church who moved down to Florida several years ago, probably 15 years ago, but he passed away right Thanksgiving night. Also want to have a thank you card from Sue Stevenson in remembering Lee as during that time. And let's see, there's the chili cook-off is coming up very soon. I'm not sure exactly the date. Saturday? Okay. This coming Saturday. So get to cooking. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Yes, please.
Should have asked you beforehand. Last Sunday and Tuesday morning, we had a wonderful first session for our winter women's Bible study. My heart was thrilled to see the women that are wanting to dig deep into God's Word. And I just want to encourage any of you ladies that are still trying to decide, come and join us this afternoon at 4:00. We'll meet in the ministry house just down the way here, and give you a chance just to see if this is something over the next few weeks that you would like to do. I do still have books if you're interested in grabbing one and kind of leafing through it to see if that is something that you would like to purchase. They're $8 each. I'll be down front here if you want to come and talk with me and see if this is for you. We'd love for you to come and join us. Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Get my thoughts right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, only you are holy. Help us to live each day by the Holy Spirit who dwells in every believer. Be with our military as they and bring them home safely. Be with our first responders as they respond to the emergencies around the country, including the California wildfires and those first responders that lost their lives in fighting those fires. Forgive us when we fail you. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, amen.